will be a Protect Wisconsin's Vote Summit tonight in Milwaukee, sponsored by the group The Institute for One Wisconsin. And our guest this hour wants to dispel myths about the extent of voter fraud in the state and speak out against efforts to pass a law to require voters to show a photo ID at the polls. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 24th. There is a proposed constitutional amendment to establish a voter ID law in Wisconsin. It's currently stalled in the state legislature, and our guest would want to see it stay that way. We'll wonder if you do too or not and why at 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Scott Ross is the executive director of the Institute for One Wisconsin and the organizer of the Protect Wisconsin Vote Summit tonight in Milwaukee from 5:30 until 8 at the Times Theater in Milwaukee. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hey, how are you, Joy? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being here. Why do we need to protect Wisconsin's vote?
Well, because the right to vote is sacred, one of our most sacred rights as Americans, and we need to make sure that that the public is informed, educated about their rights, and that all of our rights are protected when it comes to voting.
Yeah, well, why, though? You believe it's under threat?
Oh, certainly. I mean, we've seen a number of pieces of legislation come down the pike in the state legislature, predominantly by conservatives, such as the voter identification law, as well as proposals to end the same-day registration law in Wisconsin, which has created a situation where we have one of the highest voter turnouts in the nation. And certainly, high voter turnout is not a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah. Well, what if that high voter turnout includes people who shouldn't be voting?
And by that you mean?
Well, there are the reports of the voter fraud. People like felons who are voting who shouldn't be voting, or people who registered under false addresses. We hear these reports anyway.
Yeah, well, we certainly hear them. I mean, there's a lot of partisan bickering that goes on in terms of creating this idea that there's this rampant voter fraud in the state of Wisconsin. And but basically, you know, all of the cases of proven unlawful voting have been, you know, they're ex-offenders who are voting, and these numbers are extraordinarily small. At the federal level, for instance, I mean, you know, one would think with the amount that we hear about quote-unquote voter fraud that it is rampant. Well, you know, between 2002 and 2005, in the entire nation, only 24 people were convicted or pleaded guilty to illegal voting. I mean, basically, this is a solution in search of a problem. And when you're talking about, as you mentioned, the idea of felons voting, well, a voter ID law wouldn't solve that problem, quote unquote, if it were a problem.
Yeah. Well, why would it be a problem for someone to show some sort of identification to prove that he or she is who he or she says she is?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One, you know, I guess the notion is, you know, we hear the argument, well, you need a photo ID to, I don't know what, rent a video?
Right, that's right, yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know,
well,
buy liquor?
Yeah, to cash a check or to rent a video.
But those aren't constitutionally guaranteed rights. I mean, the right to vote is a sacred right. And in terms of voter identification, there was a study that UW-Milwaukee did in 2005, and it showed that 177,000 residents don't have a state-issued ID. And the people who don't have state-issue ID tend to be seniors, they tend to be the poor, they tend to be students. For instance, you know, only 45% of African-American males and 51% of African-American females had a valid driver's license. And so we're immediately disenfranchising those people. Same with, 23% of people over the age of 65 don't have a driver's license or a photo identification. We disenfranchise those people.
No.
And why?
Well, there were protections put in these various laws along the way that would supply free voter or photo IDs to these people.
Really? Because I had not seen, I mean, I understand what you're saying, where they may not have to pay to have the physical ID, but, you know, for instance, I didn't see anything that pays people the transportation to get to the DMV. I didn't see anything that pays people for the time off work to get the ID, or if they have children, to provide child care for them to get the identification. And let's just talk about the Department of Motor Vehicles. You know, we have 4.2 million residents in the state of Wisconsin who are voting age population, and yet we have 87 Department of Motor Vehicles in the state of Wisconsin. And I will tell you this, and you can look up some of these statistics on our website, which is protectwisconsinsvote.org, and that is that 42% of the counties in the state of Wisconsin have one DMV that is open 4 days or less a month. We have 19% of our counties that have one DMV at all in them, and it's open 1 day a month. So when you're talking about the access that people actually have to getting these IDs, it is specious at best, I think, and at worst, it's going to prevent people from, I mean, think about it. If you have a DMV in your county that's open 1 day a month, think about the preparation that has to go into you trying to get the ID in order to ensure that you can exercise your most sacred right, and that's the right to vote.
We are talking with Scott Ross, Executive Director of the Institute for One Wisconsin and organizer of the Protect Wisconsin's Vote Summit tonight in Milwaukee. We're talking about how he says we should protect Wisconsin's vote, and that would be in part by not passing a voter ID bill here and through other measures that we'll also talk about. We wonder what questions you have, whether you agree or disagree. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Everything we know about this election tells us the exit polls were right. George Bush lost this election.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Well, in some of the precincts, there was an 80% undervote. That means 8 out of 10 people who came to the poll did not care enough about the presidential race to vote. I don't think so.
That's an excerpt from the documentary Uncounted, which will be shown in part tonight at the Protect Wisconsin Vote Summit in Milwaukee. We're talking with the organizer of that summit, Scott Ross, Executive Director of the Institute for One Wisconsin. And we are taking your calls, your questions for him, and your opinion on voter photo ID bills as well. But before we get to the phone, Scott Ross, why show this documentary tonight? Are you fearful that something like what happened in Florida and Ohio could happen here in Wisconsin?
Well, we want to make sure that people are informed about what has happened so that they make sure that it doesn't happen here. Certainly, you know, we have to be vigilant when it comes to protecting the right to vote. And what we wanted to do is give people a sort of range of information about what's going on both in the state of Wisconsin and what's going on around the nation. We're also going to be showing some locally produced videos by Mata Media in Milwaukee that's going to talk a little bit about some of the efforts that are going on and how part of this Protect Wisconsin's Vote Education Summit is a how-to guide of letting people know what their rights are, letting them know what they can do. For instance, if their vote is challenged, we have folks on hand from the Voces de la Frontera in dealing with bilingual issues. We have a representative from Disability Rights Wisconsin who's going to talk about access to the polls for the disabled. A whole host of informative topics surrounding your right to vote and protecting that right and getting yourself to the polls on election day and how you can make sure that you cast your ballot and that ballot's counted.
To the phones we go. Matt in Oshkosh is with us. First time, Matt.
Good morning.
Morning.
I feel that the only reason to oppose this legislation is to leave the door open for voter fraud. It is committed. I know your guest tries to downplay the frequency by saying the number of people that are convicted nationwide. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen in large numbers. And I also, the only other thing I would like to say is that when I present my driver's license, and I do present it every time I walk in to vote, it actually speeds up the process. It's much faster than verbal communication. They compare it to the list. They find my name and address, and I am through that line in less than 5 minutes. I'll take my
Matt, before you go, though, what about the argument that our guests already presented that the elderly, the poor, the minorities don't have that driver's license to put down at the polls?
If you are elderly. I believe there have been provisions to give you free ID so that it's not a financial burden. That argument holds absolutely no water. I know of no one, and I know many elderly people, that does not have some type of photo ID. That is just bunk.
Well, that's bunk, Scott Ross.
Well, I mean, I mean, with all due respect to your caller, and I thank him for calling because he helps make our point, which is he's indicated that the numbers don't matter to him. The fact that we're throwing out the statistics about just how few people have been convicted or accused of voter fraud, quote unquote, there's not really an argument I can make on that. I mean, you know, from 2002 to 2005, 122 million people voted, and we have 24 convictions. In the state of Wisconsin, for instance, there was a lot of pressure by the Republican Party of Wisconsin in 2005 because they said people were double voting. They were committing voter fraud. The U.S. Department of Justice investigated, and they officially pronounced these nine cases that they were attributable to clerical errors. I mean, again, the numbers, you know, anecdotal talking points don't work. What works is the numbers, and the numbers are that the vast majority of people who don't have photo identifications are the poor, are seniors, and are students. It's 177,000 people in the state of Wisconsin alone, and we don't have enough. We don't have the resources in order to provide them with the ability to do all the things that are necessary to do in terms of a photo ID. I mean, you know, I understand Matt says he doesn't know anybody who doesn't have a photo ID. You know, and that he says that there were provisions put into the law that allegedly took care of the cost of the photo ID, the $28 for the photo ID. But there is nothing about transportation. There is nothing about getting you to the poll or getting you to the DMV or the time you have to take off from work or if you have to take care of your kids or anything like that. It's just an undue burden for something that simply doesn't exist.
Thanks, Matt, for the call. Ron in Peshtigo is with us now. Hi, Ron.
I'd like to comment on the gentleman who called and said how nice and easy it was to get a photo ID. My wife don't drive. And now this was about, I'd say, 8 years ago. We were going to our daughter's in Florida. She had to have some kind of an ID to get onto an airplane. Well, you want to have some fun trying to get one of them. It costs $8. And then you got to try and make, and now we're from Peshtigo. You got to try and make an appointment to get into one of these motor vehicle things. It's not fun, it's not easy, and it's a burden. Yeah. That's about all I got to say.
Well, I'm glad you called, Ron. So you don't think that we should require some sort of photo ID at the polls when we vote?
No, I don't. No, and as far as voter fraud, whoop-dee-doo, that's all blown out of proportion, I think, too.
Well, there you go, Scott Ross.
Well, I mean, let's not forget. It's not like you can just walk into the polls and vote without doing anything. I mean, you need to register, you know, and you need a proof of identification. That can be your Wisconsin issued driver's license number. It can be your Wisconsin state ID card number, or it can be the last four digits of your Social Security number. And then you also have to provide proof of residence. That can be a current and valid driver's license or valid Wisconsin identification card or a whole host of other things such as a gas or electric, you know, state bill, you know, things like that. Like, there are protections in place. You know, photo identification puts a burden on folks that, for whatever reason, the people who are proposing these bills don't want to see get to the polls.
Yeah, well, why do you say that? You think the people proposing these laws want to suppress certain people from getting
Absolutely,
to the
polls? Absolutely, without a
doubt. Why?
Well, because I think that they feel like those folks tend to not vote for them.
Mm-hmm. Could the argument be made the other way, that Democrats want to stop photo ID or voter ID bills because they think it will hurt their chances at the polls?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can say that if the notion is that by not restricting someone's constitutional right, you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. What's your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court decision this spring that said the voter ID bill law in Indiana was constitutional and presumably not a great burden on the population?
Well, I think a couple things. One, we saw that as a result of that, there were 43,000 people who were denied the right to vote during Indiana's primary, including some nuns who were in their 90s and who had been voting at the place they'd been voting at for, you know, basically decades. But even John Paul Stevens, in his ruling, said that the record, quote, the record contains no evidence that the fraud in the bill, you know, that the fraud is addressed by this legislation. Part of the reason, you know, and I'm not an attorney, but part of the reason that, as I understand it, some of the members of the Supreme Court upheld this was because it was before the law had gone into effect, so they couldn't prove that harm had happened.
Yeah. Rich in Hustisford is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out a couple flaws in your guest's argument. It's one of the major flaws he had was it's your God-given constitutional right to vote, and so you don't need an ID to vote. Well, it's your God-given constitutional right to bear arms. And what does he want us to do, go into a place to buy a gun and not have a photo ID? It's just ridiculous. When you stop and you think about some of the things that have come out of his mouth, I don't know. And this whole argument about it's so hard to get an ID. If you're 18 years old or 16 years old and you want to drive, you're going to find a way to get an ID. If you want to get out and you want to vote, you're going to find a way to get an ID. It's not that difficult. You hear the old guy up north saying, oh, it was so hard for my wife because I wanted to get on a plane. Well, I sure hope you got an ID before you go to get on a plane. If you're going to plan ahead to get on a plane, you better plan ahead to go and get your photo ID. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You got to have an ID to go get a movie. You got to have an ID. You should have some form of government-issued ID card to go get your to go and vote.
Yeah, well,
and
Rich,
as ridiculous as not to
Rich,
have an ID to, oh, it's your constitutional
but
right
you,
to
but
vote.
But you don't have to provide an ID. You do have to provide some sort of identification, some sort of information in order to register to vote. We're just simply saying that a photo identification, a driver's license photo identification issued by the state when we only have 87 DMVs around the state is not necessarily a burden that we should be putting on people in order to exercise their right to vote.
Well, we make them go and get an ID to go buy a gun. It's your constitutional right, God-given right, to go and bear arms. So are you saying that, let's use your same argument. It's too hard for me to go down to the DMV to get
you have to provide some identification.
And I want to go buy a gun.
In order,
so
you have to provide some identification in order to register to vote. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, you're acting as though you can just walk into a voting booth and you know, grab a ballot and go vote, and that is simply not the case. You are making the argument far too simplistic. It is not like that at all.
Rich, thanks for the call, and we will need to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio before we take more of your calls for Scott Ross, Executive Director of the Institute for One Wisconsin, organizer of a Protect Wisconsin's Vote Summit tonight in Milwaukee. We're talking about what that summit will be covering, and one of them is trying to dispel myths about voter fraud and speak out against photo ID bills or voter ID bills. There is a proposed constitutional amendment in Wisconsin to require photo ID at the polls. It's stalled right now, and we're wondering if you think it should stay stalled or not. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The notion of stolen elections is something we assign to third world countries, but not to this beacon of freedom and democracy that we like to view ourselves as.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
That's another clip from the documentary Uncounted, which will be shown in part tonight at a voter education summit in Milwaukee. It's the Protect Wisconsin's Vote Summit, organized by our guest this hour, Scott Ross, Executive Director of the Institute for One Wisconsin. The panel discussion, which will be held between 5:30 and 8 tonight at the Times Theater in Milwaukee. We'll also talk about the pitfalls of voter ID, the myths of voter fraud, same-day registration, voter suppression, and other issues. And We welcome your thoughts and questions for him this hour at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are concentrating most of our discussion this hour on a proposed constitutional amendment that would require a photo ID at the polls in Wisconsin. That legislation stalled in the state legislature for now, and our guest wants it to stay that way. And let's go back to the phones. Victoria in Milwaukee is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just heard a gentleman who preceded me who said that it's easy to get a voter ID. I beg to differ. I'm a physician. I have worked by choice for the past over 30 years with the poor, as we say, the economically underprivileged. And when you try to live on $628 a month, which is what W-2 pays, or if you try to live on $700 and some a month, which is what you get when you're disabled and you have SSI, I really don't think that it is feasible to do anything but survive. Yeah. I frankly don't know how I would live on $628 myself, not including children. Yeah. And many of my patients are functionally or truly illiterate. They certainly don't go on planes, as this gentleman said. And everything is extraordinarily difficult for them, and one should not put any barriers in between people and the right to vote. Where I come from, which is Western Europe, voting happens on Sunday, not in the middle of the week, which makes it easier. And there is no such thing as voter ID.
Yeah, thank you so much, Victoria. A little bit, we can hear the radio in the background, so let me get Scott Ross to respond to your comments.
Well, I think she made some outstanding points, and one of the things that we have on our Protect Wisconsin Vote website is some of the legislation that's out there that promotes the right to vote. Senator Cole has a bill out there that would create weekend voting, like it is in every other industrialized country in the world. Senator Feingold has a bill to federalize same-day registration so that any federal election, you can register on Election Day and vote that same day. And both of those things are designed to increase mm-hmm. civic participation, which is a good thing. And I just want to point out one other thing about some of the folks who are participating in the because there has been some discussion about the partisanship and whether or not Democrats want these legislations or Republicans want this other legislation. You know, the panel that we have assembled is a totally nonpartisan panel. We have the League of Women Voters is going to be there, the ACLU, Voces de la Frontera, the Milwaukee Area Labor Association, and Disability Rights Wisconsin. So we are taking an even-handed look at it. Certainly some of the people on the panel will be in favor of protecting the right to vote and legislation that's going to do that, certainly. But it should be a good, lively discussion. We hope a lot of people will turn out.
Thanks again, Victoria, for the call. Mark in New Berlin, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Now, let me start off by saying I support Barack Obama this year. And Saturday at the New Berlin Farmers Market, they're going to have people from his campaign helping people register to vote. A little plug there. Anyway, I am totally, totally in favor of voter ID. Last election, after the election, the Milwaukee Journal ran an article that the on-site registration forms they got through the Freedom of Information Act, and there were hundreds that were not legible, that had wrong addresses on vacant lots, that had all kinds of things, and I think that it's not a matter of getting your registration. I can walk into any polling booth, give a street name, they open up the book, I'm standing above them, I see the book, I see who hasn't voted, and I give that name. And there's no checking. Of course there's no convictions, there's no checking. How can you have a conviction unless the person just about declares, like that kid at Marquette University did a couple of years ago, that declared, oh, I voted four times in this election, when they said, hey, that's illegal. He said, oh, no, I really didn't.
Yeah,
anybody can walk into any poll and vote. If they don't check how are you going to get a conviction? It's a ludicrous argument to say that there are no convictions. There's no convictions because there's no checking.
Yeah, Mark, but that's what you're saying is really a hypothetical. You really think that's happening? People are going into polls and doing what you just said?
There's people that are going in and doing on-site registration and with registering for addresses that don't exist. It was shown in the last election, hundreds of them. And
yeah.
I don't know if it is or not because nobody's checking.
Yeah, Scott Ross?
I think that he's unfortunately somewhat misstating exactly what was going on. I mean, same-day registration, you can't just walk in and do it. You have to provide a proof of residence showing that you've lived at your current address for at least 10 days. There's a whole host of documents that can be that proof of residence, but they are not documents you can necessarily forge. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they did a report on ineligible felons or ineligible voters. They did a big report on that, and they found that it was, you know, 0.02 of a percent, you know, in Milwaukee. I mean, it just wasn't the evidence just was not there. And certainly with same-day registration, as your caller was talking about, seems to want an end to. You know, in 2004, 435,000 people voted same-day registration. That's 15% of all the people who cast ballots registered, used the right we have in Wisconsin to register and vote on election day, giving us one of the highest turnouts in the nation. And the problem is that what's happening is we see in some places that they're shorting the amount of money placed for the administration of elections and then coming back and saying, well, there were these problems with registration, so we need to end same-day registration. You know, so you can't, on one hand, you know, and in particular in Milwaukee, a lot of resources have gone in to ensure the integrity of elections when it comes to the registration and processing of same-day registration. They've done a great job with moving forward to get it to reduce the incidence of any problems. So I think hats off to what's been done in order to correct some flaws that are in the system. For instance, you know, there was the notion where people were being paid per signature to register people to vote, and that was a problem, and it was solved. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing with voter identification is it's not solving the problem they want to solve, which is that the claim was that felons are voting, and that's why we need to, and that's why we need to have photo ID.
We have an email from Diana, probation parole agent in Sparta, who wants to clarify. FYI, in the state of Wisconsin, once a felon has completed his/her sentence, they are allowed to vote again, which is correct,
but not extended supervision.
Right, you know, if they're still on parole or probation, then they cannot. But once that, and that's what I heard was part of the problem is that they were convicted felons who were still on probation who voted, and they simply didn't know they couldn't.
Yeah, and again, we were talking about, you know, for instance, in 2004 in Milwaukee, there were 7 substantiated cases of felons knowingly casting invalid votes, and it's, you know, 0.0025%. Of Milwaukee and 0.0002 of voting throughout the state of Wisconsin. And when you weigh that tiny little bit versus, you know, 200,000 people or 177,000 people who don't have photo identifications, it doesn't seem like that the balance test is achieved.
Yeah. Our guest, Scott Ross, executive director of the Institute for One Wisconsin, organizer of a Protect Wisconsin's Vote Summit tonight in Milwaukee, talking with us about voter ID and whether or not it's a good idea. He says it is not, and we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 24th, coming up after 7, we will welcome in an editor at Reason Magazine who will tell us what he considers the worst nanny state cities in the country. Chicago tops the list. After 7:30, Jim Hightower joins us to talk about how even a dead fish can go with the flow. That's the name of his new book, and we'll talk with Jim Hightower, and you can too, after 7:30.
Right now we're talking with Scott Ross. He is Executive Director of the Institute for One Wisconsin. He's talking with us about the Protect Wisconsin's Vote Summit, which is tonight in Milwaukee from 5:30 until 8 at the Times Theater. Mike in Fond du Lac is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I tell you, something that's been brought up several times this morning, and it's an issue for me. And your guest keeps referring to the right to vote. First of all, people, you understand, there is no constitutional explicit right to vote. Voter ID is something that we should have. Going voting is an important thing, even though it is not guaranteed by the Constitution. People should exercise that. The thing is, if it's an important enough issue to go to the polling station and vote, getting the ID should not be an issue at all. You need IDs for everything today.
Now, address, though, the argument, Mike, that it is a problem, according to our guest and others, for many students and elderly and poor to go and get that ID.
There are so many things in life that are problematic, and people seem to get over it. They seem to be able to go do it. If these people are capable of going to the grocery store, going to the bank, of going anywhere, then going and getting a voter ID should not be a problem to them. There's been all kinds of provisions made in legislation that is going to require the voter ID. One of the other things that I seem to have an issue with is that every time this is brought up, people say, well, it's the Republicans who want to try to keep these people from the voting booth. It seems real obvious that the Democrats always seem to try to throw a roadblock up to voter ID because they know that the majority of the people that this might affect are people who tend to vote for big government nanny state Democrats.
Well, yeah, we addressed that too. But Scott Ross, what about Mike's contention there is no guaranteed constitutional right?
Yeah, I understand that, yes. There has been, I think Jesse Jackson had a bill that would create an amendment that would formally put the right to vote into the Constitution. But, I think that it's, again, I think we're splitting hairs in terms of whether or not the right to vote exists, whether or not we are a nation that promotes people participating in electoral democracy. His own comments, show where he is on the issue, and that's fine. I mean, he certainly has the right to have his opinion on it, but when it comes to efforts to disenfranchise voters because they simply don't have photo identification, I'm gonna have to regretfully disagree with him.
Yeah. What about the argument, Scott Ross, that while you say there are very few fraud cases that are established, and this is an answer to a problem that doesn't really exist? What about the argument that there are just very few cases of people who really wouldn't be able to get this photo ID?
I don't know. 177,000 people in the state of Wisconsin. That seems like a lot. Yeah. I mean, if you're one of them and you're unable to vote, what does that do to you? What does that do to your mentality? You're a taxpayer. You participate in your community. You follow the laws. You care about this country. You pledge allegiance to the flag. But then you're denied the right to vote because you don't have a state-issued photo identification.
Back to the phones. Matt in Appleton. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. The U.S. attorney scandal cast light on the politicization of the Bush Justice Department and essentially revealed a two-part strategy. On the one hand, aimed at that Democratic constituency and their leaders. On the one hand, using U.S. attorneys to prosecute voter fraud cases, and on the other hand, using U.S. attorneys to go after perceived vulnerable Democratic leaders. Essentially, a two-pronged electoral strategy.
Yeah, we certainly have heard about that issue, Scott Ross.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we saw a memo, there was a memo that was sent by the Republican Party of Wisconsin directly to Karl Rove about all the articles that were out there, you know, creating the notion that there was quote unquote voter fraud in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I think he hit it right on the head. I'm, you know, again, when you start putting politics in between a person and their right to vote, there's going to be problems. I don't care what it is. And unfortunately, you know, we've seen the politicizing of the U.S. Attorney's Office under the Bush administration that's created some of these allegations of voter fraud and exactly what your caller had to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking too at an editorial by Wisconsin's Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. This was in May, and I think it was following the U.S. Supreme Court decision that said that the Indiana's voter ID bill was constitutional, or law was constitutional. And you know, it's voter ID would ensure that our elections are fair. And I, without reading the whole editorial to you, you know, wouldn't it do that? Wouldn't voter ID ensure that the elections are fair?
No, not necessarily, because it's denying people the right to vote. And someone being denied the right to vote because they don't have a photo ID is not fair. I think that, you know, when you're talking about the notion that, you know, there are some clerical errors that exist, that's not voter fraud. It's some clerical errors, you know, and people are always striving to do a better job and make sure that stuff doesn't happen. But, yeah, an election that doesn't allow people to fairly participate is not a fair election. I don't care what the Attorney General says.
Joe in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to counter the guest's contention that this is a political debate where it's the Republicans versus the Democrats, specifically the fact that President Jimmy Carter helped co-write a piece that was published in the New York Times this year in support of the Supreme Court's decision that the law in Indiana should be ruled constitutional. And I'd like to quote the article where President Carter co-writes the words, "Voter ID laws make it easy to vote, but tough to cheat." And he was in support of photo ID as part of that process. Instead of trying to knock that bill out of whack so it doesn't have a chance, why not add the modifications recommended by President Carter and James Baker to make voter ID process of getting them a lot easier?
Scott Ross?
Well, part of that, I mean, I think that you're, you know, I know the study that you're talking about. I know the editorial you're talking about. The voter identification plan that Jimmy Carter has included like 77 other provisions that ensure that municipalities and states and local governments have the resources to ensure that everyone has that ID. It's not an undue burden that people have all the resources. I mean, so we're talking about, you know, I know, you know, it may be popular for some to cite Jimmy Carter, but what he was advocating was, you know, again, it was like 77 or 78 proposals all put together that included voter ID.
Thank you, Joe. Jerry in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
Look, I am not in favor of voter ID. I believe that it constitutes a poll tax, and they have been ruled illegal many years ago.
You think this is a poll tax, Scott Ross?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And the thing is, when, you know, the first cases of voter fraud, you know, the first time that we heard the notion of voter fraud was back, you know, back during Jim Crow, when they were trying to deny African Americans the right to vote. That's when the notion of, you know, when the first claims of voter fraud existed. So I completely and totally agree with what Jerry had to say.
Right, but the U.S. Supreme Court does not.
Yeah, well, the U.S. Supreme Court happens to be incorrect on that, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry, for the call. Bill in Hollandale, is it Bill?
Hollandale,
hi.
Right. Yes, this caller, the voter ID would actually help the people that are commonly thought would be hurt. There was a similar program on that Ben Marin had a couple, well, maybe it was a month ago, or someone called up, and she was very upset about this idea, but he missed the point. She was upset because she had to pay for an ID so she could get drugs and health care. So these elderly and all these affected people have to today pay for an ID to get drugs, health care, and other services. And with a voter ID card, they wouldn't have to pay for that. So they would have a free ID card that would help them buy these other services. So it solves the problem rather than making one worse.
Well, I guess if your guest, you know, I mean, again, you know, say your guest lived in Buffalo County where there is no DMV, how does the person get their identification card then?
They have to get one today to get health care and drugs.
Okay, what about people who don't have to get a card for health care and drugs? What about, you know, a young person who, you know, again, what about a young person who doesn't necessarily need that identification, that photo identification?
And Bill, also, in our last minute, why is it so important to you? Why do you think it's so important that somebody show a photo ID at the polls?
I just think it's just like you do for anything else. It's your identification. It helps to preserve someone's ID. It's a safety factor, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's just a safety factor, Scott Ross.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just agree to disagree on that. I happen to think it's an undue burden, as one of your callers said, you know, a poll tax.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do only have a minute or so to go. How do you feel about this this proposed constitutional amendment that's stalled in the state legislature? Do you think it'll stay that way?
Yeah, I like to, you know, I mean, the way the constitutional amendment process goes, it has to pass both chambers for two successive terms before it goes to the state, before it goes before the voters, and I would assume that it's not going to go anywhere for quite some time, and I think that's a good thing for democracy, because, you know, the more people who participate in democracy, the better.
Well, a lot of people participated in this hour, so we struck a chord. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm glad the programs like this exist, and I encourage everyone to support Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, that's very nice of you. Scott Ross, Executive Director of the Institute for One Wisconsin. He's organizing a Protect Wisconsin Vote Summit, a voter education summit tonight in Milwaukee from 5:30 until 8 at the Times Theater in Milwaukee. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Michelle Koffel, and Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.